Hallelujah. Blessed Heavenly Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, to your people. The Lord you have, through your grace, give us the faith. The Lord you open our eyes to recognize our need for a Savior. And throughout all these many years past, Lord, you have picked up all those that belong to you throughout this island of Singapore. And now there, Lord, in other countries as well. In your own time, Father, you deal with each and every one of us. Amen. To make us to see that we are part of the family of God. And we need to come home and come to thee, Lord, because of your love for us, you restore us back to you. Because once we are just lost souls wandering around without a Savior, without a Heavenly Father, not knowing who we are. Although we are thankful, Lord, you open our eyes to see, to make us to see, Lord, who we are. We are thankful, Lord, for your grace. And that's the reason, Lord, we are gathered to here, be together, Lord, today. In various parts of the world, Lord, your people that get together to worship, fellowship, Lord, and to learn of your word. So, Father, we thank you for this hour. Thank you for this time. Bless it now, Father, as you approach thy word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You all may be seated. All right, let's continue with our series on the sound mind. Actually, it's a series based on faith, the mind, and the confession. Now, I want to say this, brother and sister, when we are gathered together ever so often on Sunday, or whether it be on a weekday or Friday on a Bible study, remember this, we are not here, we are not gathered for the workshop about eternal life. You know what a workshop is? Yeah. There are a lot of people that cannot workshop coming together, you know, to learn something. Or a seminar or something. So here we are not coming together or the work as coming together for the workshop that deals with eternal life. Some people come together to learn about eternal life, how to get into the heaven. We know that we are the saints of God, we are children of the living God, we have receive salvation from Him already. So we don't have to learn about eternal life. What we are doing here is that we gather here, we are learning the Word of God. What our Heavenly Father has for us. His instruction and the thing that He has promised us. And it is for us to learn and for us to claim. Alas, we as a people of God perish for lack of knowledge of what the thing that He has done for us and thing that He promised to bless us with. Amen? Now, we live in this junction of time, this pandemic, this viruses that's been fooling around for the last 1.5 years now. And not only this, but we have situation around the world that are really bad. You know, and the news in America, sometimes you turn on the television, the news media, especially today, many of your television channels, they offer different news media, news channels. Fox News, CNA, CNN, Bloomberg, Euronews, and such like. And all the news that we practically hear every day are actually 99% bad news. You know, the only good news that you hear about is an advertisement. That's the news that they advertise for you, you know. Selling this, having a comfort car, a new car, things like that. But you know, we are living in a condition that actually in the book of Revelation chapter 9, you don't have to open to it. But you know, in chapter 9, you read about this bottomless pit. And I believe that what we are seeing in the world today for all the last 10, 20, 30 years now, you know, the bottomless pit is, you know, getting a little bit wider, a little bit more open, and demons are coming out. You know, and you have, the demon has been going out there doing all kinds of things already. And more demons are let loose. And we see the thing that is being done around the world. Especially in America, where all the lots of killing, the Black Lives Matter issues, and they're still, solve this problem. I just don't understand how the American government is going to solve this issue of the gun, especially the gun problem. And just only yesterday there was another killing. And I read the news, and I'm not mistaken if I heard it right. It seems that every 20 minutes there is a shooting, you know. And every 5 days there's somebody died. Shooting is one thing, but every 5 days seems to be somebody died by a gunshot. You know, not because he's a criminal, but because of some altercation between, you know, the police or and some guys on the road, whatever. It is so sad. And yesterday news was that this man who murdered somebody had been in jail, was put in jail, but I don't know for how many months or year he was let out of the prison, and not soon after he was let out, he shot another person to death. And this is one of the things that, you know, it's been going on. It's so very sad to read about all these things. Now, concerning our subject that we have been on the last 3 weeks ago, and we learned about the IQ, the EQ, the SQ, all about intelligence. Whether it's IQ, EQ, or SQ, it's linked with intellect. Basically, God is intellectual. Yeah? His emotional intelligence, what you call the EQ. Spiritual, and then SQ, the spiritual quotient. Now, we all should have that as Christians. We are not talking about the people out there in the world. We have people that are so intelligent out there, but when it comes to EQ, they are not good at that. And of course, if they are not Christian, where is the SQ? So, human beings, we are made up, as we know. We are natural man. I mean, there is the natural man, there is the carnal man, and there is the spiritual man. Every one of us that is born to this world, we all are born natural. So, natural, that's what does it mean being natural? What's the difference between the natural and carnal? Natural is that Jesus is born a natural man, but he's not carnal. We're all born naturally to say that we have five senses, come down, we eat, we hunger, we eat, we thirst, we drink. That's natural man. The carnal man is a man who takes the five senses and then begin to reason with it to satisfy his own flesh. So the desire that he eat and he eat and he eat, and that is carnal man. That's gluttony. Then we have the spiritual man, which we all ought to be. spiritual man and spiritual woman. And now the Lord to be able to understand the Word of God. So let us go to this verse in the Bible, Proverbs 23, verse 7. Now we just take the first part of it. We all know this because this is practically another verse of the text that we have taken last week, which was 2 Timothy 1:7. But we are taking this verse as well. As a man thinketh, so is he. Just the first part of the verse. We all know that very well. As a man thinketh, right? So is he. Okay, let us go to the book of James, chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. My brethren, be ye not many masters, knowing that you shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. For in many things we offend all. If any man offendeth not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. That's what we are talking about. A sound mind. If you, your speech, whatever you are thinking here, I mean, whenever we, well, let me say that, you know the saying, think before you speak. Some people speak without thinking. So the mouth is faster than what is thinking. But actually, it's also a split second thing, right? That goes in and you get angry, you already fire up. Right? Because you don't think, say, okay, what if I would get angry and I scold him and I curse him or fight with him? What will be the end result? We don't think about this thing, of course, because what we're thinking is, we are angry, I'm going to get the better of him. So there you go. You see, but a person who is able to bridle, let me read that again. If a many man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. How many of you, let me ask you very honestly, how many of you, when you see somebody being unreasonable, how many of you get angry? Really, I mean, let me be honest, people are very unreasonable, not just unreasonable, but very unreasonable. Would you not get angry? Yes or no? If any of you said you don't get angry, I think you're a hypocrite, a liar. We don't get angry because being so unreasonable, we get very angry. Yeah, but that's okay, you get angry. But you see, you must be able to bridle your whole body. You know, don't let it come up. Okay, verse 10 to 12. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing or cursing. My brother, this thing ought not so to be. Do a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries? Either a vine fig? So can no fountain both you salt water and flesh? So obviously, right, you have what James is saying. A fountain can never bring sweet and bitter water. Sweet or salty water, you can't. A corn bears plant will have to bear four corn, and olive tree bear four olive, not berries. That's common sense. Now, remember this, the Bible here, as you know, if you love the Bible, you should know that the Bible is a book for Christians. It's not a book for non-Christian. It's a book for Christian people, for God's people. And this is to make us to understand and open up, right? So you have James chapter 3, 1 and 2 and 10 to 12. That's what you have. Now I have in my hand a book. That's a very tiny little book. It's very old. I bought it, I think if I'm not mistaken, I bought it at second hand. The price of this book back then in America, it cost only $1.95, and I bought it in the year 15 December 1979. This is a very simple book. It's 64 pages. Very small. But I love this book. It is called As a Man Thinketh. And everyone needs to read this book. I have read it a couple of times and it's quite a bit old now, and this book of course is by James Allen. Now let me just quote a few of his saying, because this has become a classic book. Very simple book. Alright, so let me read to you one paragraph. A man's mind may be likened to a garden, which may be intelligently cultivated or allowed to run wild. But whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth. If not useful seeds are put into it, then an abundance of useless weed seeds will fall therein and will continue to produce their kind. Now, what this book, of course, is based on the Proverbs chapter 37 verse, 23 verse 7, as a man thinketh. So you see. This happens to, of course, a fact. The mind and the seed. The mind is a garden. And if we know that a piece of land, if you don't cultivate it, and you leave it alone, the wind will bring all kinds of seeds onto it. And most of the time, what you get are weeds. I mean, you don't want the kind of things to be in the ground. And the same thing with our mind, our garden here, this mind here. Now, let me just try to remind you again to reinforce. Some of you might not understand. You talk about the mind and you talk about the heart. And as Bob M says, Satan goes for your head and God goes for your heart, right? Okay, so when we talk about the head or this mind here, but the Bible many times relates the mind to the heart. As a man thinker. So you see. So do you think with your mind up here or do you think with your heart? On a question, think with the heart, don't think with the mind. Because the mind here is where all the battle takes place. And if you have won the battle of what is good and what is bad, you take the good, you put it in your heart, so you, being that you know that you are a Christian, you know what is good, so as a Christian, as a man thinker, as a Christian man thinker, so you see, it comes from the heart. You don't think the bad things to come out from your heart. You see, the bad things are out here, and that's what the black dog really likes. You understand? So, when we talk about the mind, the seed, that's what we get. And as I said this, when I said this last week or two, we're all born 90% mental, 10% physical. Huh? Especially, you know, when we are those who are fathers or grandfathers. You know, when a child is born into the world, and I believe, perhaps you know, that you have already two kids. A child that is born, a baby is born in the world. He said, he's physical. You look at him as a physical person. Right. But he is growing and his mind is perceiving because what his eye sees and what his senses feels. When he's hungry, he will cry and so on and so forth. Then he grows up. Right. And then when he grew up, he realized that he has a mind of his own. Hadriel. And you have Hazel, right? Oh, they want to do certain things. They become, they're having a mind of their own. So, all the thing about it, every day you wake up, we wake up, our mind is very active. We are thinking. Right? Sometimes you wake up, you don't feel like going to work, you just want to lie down, you might start to work, and that sort of thing, so I take a day off and call in sick and something like that. Yes. Yeah. Me, when I go out, especially here in this place, my home, my estate, there's no good food, you know. Sometimes you're hungry, I have to go and eat something, so you go to the food cart and there are 15 stores there. You wait one round to see what you want to eat and you don't know what to eat. And then you make another round and see what to eat and you don't know what to eat. Because, you know, your mind is going to work. Is that you're going through all this. 90% mental, 10% physical. If you're not through, if I cut off all your limbs, your hand is, well, chop it off. I chop your leg off. You are still, you may be half, 50% physical now.
But your mind is still working. If I take off one part of your lungs, you are still able to breathe. Your mind is still working 90% all the time. All the time you are still thinking. We are all mental. And that's a gateway. The mind here is a garden, is a gateway where the devil is trying to get to you. Trying to get you. And take a hold of you and control you. Alright, that's what we see on that. So this James Allen, he says this. Men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. The man who does not shrink from self-crucifixion can never fail to accomplish the object upon which his heart is set. Now that is to say that if a man is willing to sacrifice himself or self-sacrifice, he will accomplish anything that he set to do. Alright? This is as true of earthly as of heavenly things. Even the man whose sole object is to acquire wealth must be prepared to make great personal sacrifices before he can accomplish his object. And how much more so he who would realize a strong and well-poised life. Then I take an example from here, another page. Here is a rich man who is the victim of a painful and persistent disease as the result of gluttony. He is willing to give large sums of money to get rid of it, but he will not sacrifice his gluttonous desires. He wants to gratify his taste for rich and unnatural viands and have his health as well. Such a man is totally unfit to have health because he has not yet learned the first principles of a healthy life. Yeah, I think that is very true, isn't it? People, when they are rich, they start eating all unhealthy food and get himself into a state where he gets all certain kind of disease. But he has a lot of money. You know, when I went to my dental surgeon several years, the first time I was there, the second time, and he said to me, he said, "Your teeth are terrible." I said, "Yeah, I know." He said, "What have you been eating? You have been grinding a lot of peanuts." I said, "Not really." "Oh, do you grind your sleep?" I said, "No. If I grind my teeth, I said, my wife would have kicked me out of bed." And he said, "What's wrong with your teeth?" I said, "I don't know." Then he said, "Do you brush your teeth?" "Yeah, I remember when our younger day, when we were poor, you know, we buy one toothbrush, you know, and those days the toothbrush is not what dentists have discovered, you know, how thin and fine the micro, you know, the fiber, you know, bristle, how fine it should be. And those days was very like, it was like a brush, like a, what we call a hard brush, when you brush the floor, that kind of stiff and hard bristle. And we used that to brush. And I was young, you know, as a child, growing up with that toothbrush. So we think the harder you scrub, the better it is. Amen. So, you already brushed. And you know, my gums start receding down from my teeth. And then, this is a wow. Look at your gum is receding from, you know, we have every tooth have what we call a gum line. And mine just went below it. Many of them. You see. And of course, in those days, you brush until the tooth brush, the bristle, all flat, and we still use it. Oh my. And that's why me and my sister, we are the first two, we lost some of our teeth. Except for the one, and after the third one, and the rest, they all had nice teeth. And you know, I was telling the standard Sonia, I said, if I have a choice between $1 million and a whole good set of teeth, I will have a set of good teeth. Yeah, I would want a set of good teeth. Because you need the teeth to really eat and enjoy your food. You know? But it's too late. I have to have my, what do you call, crowning and, root canal. And what do you call that?
The bridge.
Mm-hmm. The bridge or whatever. Anyway, so it's quite a troublesome thing. Yeah. Oh, okay. So these are the things I was thinking. For this rich man, if anyone who have a choice, we should make the right choice. We cannot, at least when we can, he wanted to have good health, and yet he persistently wanted to eat all this unhealthy, unnatural food. So, what do we think of here? As a man thinker, let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 5, chapter 15 and verse 18. For those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So now that's what now here this is what Jesus said. Is that Jesus' teaching? You know, here were the religious people saying, "Oh, you didn't wash your hand." I mean, you know, yeah, the Old Testament talk about cleanliness. That's true. God in the Old Testament tell the people how to, you know, keep themselves from all these bacteria, bad, unhealthy things, you know. When you eat, before you eat, wash your hand. Yes, it is true that you wash your hand. But it is not a strict law that you have to do it. But what happened is that it became a religious law to these religious people. So they find fault, you don't wash hand before you eat. And then of course some people really wash their hand ever so often. But Jesus said, what defiles the man is not what he takes in. What he takes in with the mouth comes out into the toilet, into the sewer. But what comes out from his mouth comes out from the heart, and that what defiles the man. So, it's all in our head. It's all what we feel from our five senses. The natural man is absorbing. But what happens when it gets into the mind? Are we turning to become carnal? Let's go to Romans chapter 5. 1-11. Now we're talking about the faith. Anyhow, remember, even though I entitled my message to sound mind, but actually the whole thing is based about the faith, the mind, the confession. Because if we are spiritual people, because we have the faith, how do we use our mind? And what do we do in our having our understanding, how do we bring forth our confession? So here is what Paul said. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation work patience, patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. And that's why we have this consolation. That the Holy Spirit is given to us. And all this that we go through, knowing that tribulation will be patient. We go through tribulation, but it makes us a better person to be patient. You know, of late, I was going through a lot of stress with the brethren overseas, trying to help them, with what they need and so on and so forth. And this brother was giving me a hard time. I don't want to elaborate what the whole thing is, but there are simple things and simple steps that he should do, but he is not doing it properly for me, and so it created a lot of back and forth, texting and calling and liaising with other brothers in other countries, and so this become a problem, and it really taxed me. I was actually losing my patience. You know, so finally I told brother, nice, please deal with this brother. You know, so let me just relax. So brother, I said, yeah, relax brother, just don't worry, we handle it. So you know, understand, sometimes when you are under stress, you get all very upset. And sometimes when I'm under stress, the best thing I do is to lie back, take a nap, or go out for a walk. But here's tribulation worker patient experience. And it's how we handle with people, and that's how we learn EQ. Right? Dealing with people is not that easy. You know? And, well, let me just tell you an incident here, but Sister Tracy told me what happened. She went to the mall and bought her grocery, and she came back walking through the block, and there was no people around. And she pushed the cart, and she put the mask down under her chin. And here was the safe distancing officer, two of them. One was a young lady in her 30s, started to tell her, you should put back your mask. She was sitting there, she said, yes, I know I should put my mask, but I'm already breathless, you know. No, you must put your mask. And you see, the safe distancing officer, the ambassador, was doing her job. You say, no, I must put a mask. My wife said, I'm breathless. Let me rest for a while. I know. Do you, when you go to the mosque, do you put on your mask? I said, then my wife said, yeah, of course. Your people are putting on their mask. He said, but I'm breathless. You know, I'm just sitting here. But there's nobody. You came along. You know, the ambassador asking, you're breathless. Do you have a certificate to prove that you are breathless? I said, no, but I have my own tablet that I take. Oh, do you bring a tablet with you? The medicine. You know? And, you know, I think that she, and I was thinking sometime, I don't blame this ambassador, she was doing her job, but probably she didn't understand that when you approach some elderly folk, you know, when they tell you this, you know, tell them in a proper way, but you don't be so messed up with your asking questions that confuses the elder folk. It's not a young person. Yeah, but a young person, of course, you ask them, you know, because you are young, you say you're breathless, what is the cause, and so on, yeah. So, I believe the EQ is lacking in, yeah, that is really true. In the bank also, bank officer in the bank, sometimes they have no proper EQ to deal with the customers, you know. So here we have that. Let us have that EQ, alright? So, with that patient experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die, yet but adventure for the good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And now, not only so, but we also join in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Here Paul is talking about very basically our justification in Christ because of the faith. So, when we are born again, we have received, as Paul has said, the Holy Spirit is given unto us. And Jesus Christ told the disciple that the Holy Spirit was given to guide us and bring things to our remembrance and show us things to come, right? As simple as that, that's what faith is, that God has given us, to be led by the Holy Spirit. So, why is faith so a problem? I ask you a question here. You know what a flying fox is? You know what a flying fox is? It's not the one that running on four legs with a tail and he jump and he fly. Not that one. Flying fox, the bat. Right? Alright, let me ask you about bat. Is a bat a bird or an animal? Some kind of other? When I was working in the mental hospital at night, when they're out there in the field, I said, see all these fruit bats flying around, you know. They're flying around and near the ward, so I took a towel, I just stood there in the center of the field where the bats are flying, and I just swing my towel, and two or three bats will come on, drop onto the floor. Yeah, I know, being cheeky, of course, being naughty, sometimes you want to you know, I kind of curious. So I took one off and looked at him in his face. My goodness, he looks like a vampire. You know what a vampire is anyway. That's how the bat looks like. His teeth and the ear, the fox ears and the teeth. Oh man. You know, that's a bat. So it's a bat, a bird, or is it an animal? Yeah. It's a mammal, it's an animal. Are you sure? So you know something, but it's the same thing. Why is it called a flying fox? Yeah, it's a mammal, right? But it looks, it's a bird too. It's a flying bird, isn't it? Flying birds fly, right? Animals don't fly, right? So you see, the question is this: when you ask a lot of people who are not aware of what a bat is, they do not know. So the question right now here is this: do we know who we are? Does a bat know that he is a mammal, or does a bat think that he is a bird because he can fly? What about you, brothers and sisters? Do you know who you are? Are you a sinner or a saint? If you do not know what you are, like a bird, like a bat, he think that he is a bird but a flying animal. And I'm asking you, are you a sinner or a saint? Some of you will say, maybe I'm a saint, maybe I'm a sinner, then you are a sinner saint. And if you are a sinner saint, you are in trouble. So we need to know who we are. Okay. Let me show you this video. I want you to listen to what this preacher says. Listen very carefully, or you won't catch it. Then there will be a second video. I want you to listen to what he's saying and see how this preacher is, there are a lot of charismatic type preacher in the entire message. And that's why when I see preacher out there behaving like a charismatic preacher, I walk away. You know, a lot of times it's on all the showmanship, trying to be funny or trying to act up something, and you realize something, that something is very, very wrong. Like a bat who thinks he's a bird because he can fly. Okay? Listen to it very carefully.
We come with bowed heads and bowed hearts, Lord. Say thank you. Thank you for your love, oh Lord. Thank you for Jehovah Roscoe, Lord. If it wasn't for him, where would we have been, oh Lord?
The number 8, hallelujah. The number 8, hallelujah. The number 8. The number 8, hallelujah. The master Ronaldo, the master is here. Holiness is here. And his name is Jehovah Roscoe. His name is Etkail Roscoe.
Now, here's a preacher. And did you hear what he said? Does this preacher know who he is? Is he a believer or a make-believer, or is he a comedian? Or is he so religious that he doesn't know, that his mind is all unsound? Do you know the first video and second video what he said? We worship a God whom the Bible calls Yahweh or Jehovah. And there is no other name but Jehovah. But he has a Jehovah whose name is Agar Roscoe. Did you hear that? So I don't know how many Jehovah he worshipped. He thanked the Lord Jesus for Jehovah Roscoe. Without Jehovah Roscoe, don't know where he would be. That man is confused. And when a person is unsound like that, now this is supposed to be anti-message people out there in South Africa, I think it is. You can go and Google the name. Agar Roscoe. And you'll find him. There are many people out there wanted to be somebody like in Nigeria, Amos, who claimed to be the lead apostle. And now this person here is claiming that Agar Roscoe is Jehovah Roscoe. People's minds are so unsound. And that's what I'm saying, that the bottomless pit is getting a big hole, bigger now, open up. The hole is getting bigger, so to speak. Or the lid is opening up bigger now. And more demons are let loose until the men, people have unsound mind. You know, back in the days when I was in the Assemblies of God, and I went to a Baptist church, that's where I found the gospel and the Lord saved me. And then, you know, I've actually for 2 years after that, and then the Lord restored me back to His salvation again, to the joy of His salvation, rather. And I went to the examination of God. And there I began to get very serious because the Lord was burning a fire in me. You know. And I went on a fast. And I said, the Lord, what do you want me to do? And He told me about all the ministry I was supposed to do. I wrote it down in my Bible. I don't show anybody. Because I don't even know whether, well, maybe this is coming. My mind is going work up because I really enjoy the Bible or something like that. But I know it's true and I wrote it down. Just for later confirmation. The date and the year were written there. So when I was there, I was studying the church history. And I see how the Lord works through the seven church ages. Yeah, I didn't know there were seven church ages. At that time, I looked into a dispensation. To Carl Larkin's books and several other books that are looking at the dispensation and studying the Bible and how the Lord moved. So when it was that, those back in those years was in the 60s. And charismatic has not yet really established in Singapore yet. But when I look into the history, I realize that in America, and I see how the Pentecostalism started. And then how charismaticism started in the 50s, in the home. And then I see how charismaticism became known as neo-Pentecostalism. And the way that they preach and the way that they stress and they give, I said, wow, this is really a mess. And when it came to Singapore, I realized it's big trouble. You know, I've seen once, twice, and said, that is not good. But to the young people today, their people are socializing, they want, just today, social media has become the norm for young people. Everybody is into Instagram, Facebook, what else? What else do they have? Twitter and what else? I know there are so many on TikTok or TikTok or whatever you have. So they are all having all the social media. Charismatic. The devil knows how to get the people worked up. You know how people get worked up? Look at today. Racism. People get worked up. One, next moment, and another one, and another one. The devil have a heyday, brother, sister. And today we are in this situation around the world. And churches, charismatic system. Wow. Thousands of people. How do you get people to enjoy us, them? You get preacher like this man. Go out there. He got all that back in the 50s. You know what happened in somewhere in... Oh, if I remember Houston, Texas, somebody called the Holy Laughter. Somebody started, I can't remember the name now. Huh? And then Ken Hagin came around and did the same thing. And you have, what is this man? I forgot the one. Say Fire. What is his name? Hagin. No, Hagin, sorry. Benny Hinn. He started, okay, right. But then you know, you move into charismatic kind of way of preaching, what do you think you're going to do? You excite people. Suddenly you come up with this, that. Now what people do, the dance. You know today, you know sometimes the dance are very nice movement. You see how they move, like what you call it, Michael Jackson with his moonwalk, and all people come up with this Mars walk, Jupiter walk, whatever you have. Move your head this way, and then you jump and do all that. You're doing the spin. The charismatic system, you have the same spirit. You get the people entertained. Fire! Ken Hagin was okay, but he came now. He started to join the holy laughter. My. All the good things they're going to have. From Israel went to Europe. From Europe, he went over to America. And it was in America that the Philadelphia church experience that the gospel went out into the world tremendously. But you know, the pride. Now, some people will be saying, hey, very again, why are you always speaking against America? You know, the Bible speaks about America, does call it the liar, so what do I want to speak about America? Huh? Why are you speaking against Catholicism? So, you speak against Americanism is wrong, but the Bible talks about it. You call it the false prophet, the liar. So what's up there in America today? The pride that caused it to fall. And that's why if you think that I shouldn't be speaking about America, and Brother Abraham said this, and you believe the Brother Abraham was son of God for the message to give to us, come back to this world? He said, I no longer pray for America. She's finished! She's finished! Back in the 60s when he said that. Think about it. And you can see how bad he has gotten. If Barabbas is alive today, what do you think he's going to say? Look at how bad America's the situation is in America now. Huh? That's just a mess. I don't know why is it called the United States of America. They should call it this United States. Every state has their own system and they are all disagreeing. And they are all afraid. It's so very, very sad. And the one thing, as I said this many times, the first time when I was in America back in 79, 80, I went back again. And 81, that's when I began to observe and I see, wow. That same spirit that was in the political system had jumped into the church. Yeah, the churches I visit, they are end time message churches. I go see what's going on even in the end time message churches. Not just in charismatic or Pentecostalism. It's just so bad. Here was this man promoting his Jehovah. His Jehovah, this is not the Jehovah of the Bible, but the Jehovah by the name of
agorosko. What about, I mean, there are others in other countries, in Africa, in many African countries, there are many. They are promoting a man. That's okay to promote men as apostles or prophets or what. That's okay. But they are promoting the man as the absolute. The Brahma is promoting Brother Brahma as the absolute. There are others, they are promoting others as the absolute. And that's how bad it really is. Now, back several years, many years ago, now I can't remember when it was. I think it would be in the late 1990s. There was this man who wrote me and said, or spreading all that lies anyway, and said that you are promoting yourself as the eagle. You know our logo? Our logo is this eagle that's chasing or being led by the dove. So he's saying that you are making yourself the eagle. I said, what are you talking about? You are making yourself the prophet. I mean, they are saying all sorts of things. I said, what are you talking about? And I have to tell him, I said, did you not know what the eagle represents? And do you not know what the Holy what the white dove represents? You know, after telling him what it was, he still go around doing the same thing. And he, of course, he believed the Brother Brand, of course, was the absolute anyway. But and only noted this. He also teaches this that I remember. He said, when Christ comes, he will rapture the believers, and there together with the believer, he will open up the seven seals. Then he will come back to this earth and raise the dead. The whole thing is on the reverse. Did not the Bible say the dead in Christ shall rise first? Right? And then we which are alive will be caught up together with them in the air. But he said that Christ will come and resurrect the bride. And then together open up the seven seals. What is he talking about? So we have people who are based teaching the word of God based on Brother Branham, but not even understanding what Brother Branham is saying. And taking his word out of contact and give a different meaning. Yeah. I told you this before. A few years back. Not only just this brother in Singapore, but I have been told twice or three times, I can't remember, but this one I still distinctly remember just because it was a few years ago. You know, we talk about capital punishment. And he was telling me, Brother Brown, do you know Brother Brown do not believe in capital punishment? I said, so? I said, do you know the Bible said an eye for an eye, a life for a life? And do you know in the book of Genesis, God told Noah that if a man take another man's life or an animal take a man's life, the man and the animal will be put to death by the hands of man. And he asked me, who are we to put a person to death? Yeah, I know Brother Bram has many opinions of his own. But we cannot take his opinion and override the word of God. Yeah, Brother Bram says, I don't believe in mixed marriage. What he was referring to, of course, was in America, the white man and the black. You know. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I also do not agree that the black should marry the white, because there will always be a problem. That's my opinion, but it doesn't mean that anybody who do that, they are wrong. No. I just don't agree with this thing. Because society, and you know, I mean, we all know back then, of course, Singapore is no more relaxed now. People accepted it.
But back in the days when I was young, the 60s, you see a Chinese with an Indian person, you know, that caused a lot of problem. Parents, especially the Chinese parents, would not agree to that. They get very upset. Because why? It's racist. That is true, isn't it? Let me tell you what it is. A Chinese family with a son, and if someone to marry an Indian woman, that will be a real big problem. The parent will not want it, because they will tell the son, you are marrying downwards, not upwards. You know what I'm saying? Because to the world, to the Chinese, mentality is that the Indian are the lower down rank, and the white skin are the upper rank. So if the son were to marry a white woman, the parent will be very happy. Y'all know that? That's racism. That's why I have a problem here with many a brown man. The brown man do not believe mixed marriage, that's all. And that's why in the early years in the 70s, in the first church, some of those Chinese brother want to marry an Indian sister. They have a lot of problems. And the Indian brother wants to marry a Chinese sister, they also have problems, because why? The pastor says, no, no, no. And they came up to me and asked me, what do you think about this? I said, I'm not problem. So you don't mind Chinese to marry Indian? I said, no, I'm no problem. You know. But Brother Bram said so. Brother Bram said so. No, why you come to ask me this question? I don't get it. You want to marry a Chinese girl because you're Indian, and you come and ask me this because your pastor disagrees with you, come and ask me my opinion. Then you quote me, Brother Bram said so. Then why you ask me? I'm telling you what the Bible said. What did the Bible say? What does the Bible say anyway? You as an Indian, you're Chinese, where do you come from? Where do you come from? As an Indian come from a different line of back to Adam? Think about it. We all came from a tree, sons of Noah. Like it or not. What color were they? Was Ham black? Was Ham Indian? Treasure history. I study my Bible, I study anthropology. And let me tell you, it's eschatology. I studied that. And how men migrate. So they don't have this mixed mind about this and that, a double-minded man. Well, where did the Jew come from? Can a Jew marry a Japhethite? Can a Shemite marry a Japhethic man or woman? Can a Shemite, back then, Shem's descendant, marry Hamic descendant? Can they? What color were they then? You see, God has varieties. That's why sometimes I make an opinion because of the social problem. Not because of race. It's a social problem. Like in America today, the white people have problem with the black because of this social issue. In Canada, still to today, do you know the indigenous people of Canada, the Indian or the native? Oh, of course, they are red Indians. Do you know that when Canada came, the white men went to Canada, the French people rather, they want their native people not to speak their own language. They changed their name all into, well, French name or English name, not the Indian name. Why? It's just like if I have a Chinese name. But the white man come in and say, no Chinese name. The white race is always forcing it. And that's why we have a problem today. You know, that is politics. But when it comes to the scripture, come to the Christian faith, come to what we believe, it's on my sound. Turn the back. Come to the realization that he is not a bird, but an animal, a mammal. Can he come to realization of that? Or just because I can fly, I'm not an animal, I'm a bird. We have a problem in this many believers. An anti-message. Don't talk much. Don't talk about the traditional denomination. They have their doctrines. But we who are supposed to be in the truth, we have come so far into the word of the Lord because God has sent a message to get us out of the darkness of tradition. And yet, many are falling into tradition, into the trap of the devil. Your problem does not blame capital punishment. That's okay. You see, he believes in grace. Yeah, I believe in grace too. But the system was put in place where a man who could kill somebody in cold blood, you want to give him grace, no capital punishment, not put him in an electric chair or hang him. You want to put him in the jail, put him for life. Maybe then he could, come to realize that he needs a Savior, that he's a terrible sinner. Good. But you know, many of these criminals, they went up there for a year, 5 years, 10 years, and let out. Now he goes again, he kills somebody else again. Whose fault is that? The man's fault or the system? If I'm a criminal, I kill somebody in cold blood. In cold blood. You put me in jail, it's a capital for life. I'm at age 20, 20 years old. Put me for life, good. By the age of 30, you let me out. I take a gun and I shoot somebody else. Whose fault is that? For me, I will not say this is my fault. I said it is the government's fault. The system has failed. That's why it made me to come out and kill somebody else. If you have put me to death because I killed somebody, according to the Bible, there will be just one death. You see, God knows what he's doing, but man has become so full of mercy, so to speak. Yeah. I don't know what kind of mercy it is giving. Alright. I have also, I want to say this because, you see, this issue of what we read earlier about faith, you know, faith is a revelation. It is not just something up there in the head. I think I'm a Christian. I think this is what God wants me to do. I think that this man is Jehovah, and his name is Roscoe. We're looking into the word of the Lord, and let us look into the word in a proper way. Recently, on Facebook, I posted several, you know, paragraphs, extract from my book, The Logos. And, you know, people comment on it. But I'm a bit wise now that when people comment, I just let them comment, good or bad. But somebody are asking questions, I will not answer. Because I know you'll be drawn into more debate. You understand what I'm saying? It's just like what I have with my friend, you know, P.O. Every time I give an answer, he will come out and tweet something else and bring in something else, and there'll be more debate. If it's one against one, we're fine. But in the Facebook, if I made a comment, he will come and treat somebody else who's thinking that way, will treat it again, and the whole thing become a terrible, messed up man. So I posted this up there, an extract from Logos regarding Christ's humanity. And I said that we know that Christ, Jesus, was born not from the egg of Mary. You understand what I'm saying? And I said, it is a totally new creation. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay? God did not take the egg of Mary, but these people out there, they are those who believe that for Jesus to become human, really human, to experience our passion, God must use the egg of Mary, but touch the egg of all the sin. Wow. You see, I believe everything is a new creation. For us to have a new birth, Christ must be a new creation. Is that alright? A new birth, not with the hand of a man and a woman, but a birth from a woman by the hand of God. So it's a sperm cell of God and the egg of God that fused together and implanted. And people make fun of it when they say, oh, incubator. Oh, so Mary is an incubator. I mean, for the lack one of a, for one of a good word, so what's wrong with using the word incubator? And you know what this question was posed? Posed a question like this. After I put that out there, I said, a new creation of God subject to temptation and death? Question mark. And that's a kind of a sarcasm, right? A new creation subject to temptation and birth. So he doesn't believe that it is subject to temptation. Why not? Well, was not Adam a new creation? He was totally a new creation because there's never any creation of mankind. Adam was the first kind, right? Something new. Let us go to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 20. And let's see what the Bible itself says. A new creation subject to temptation and birth? Why not? If it is the hand of God, chapter 8, verse 20 of Romans says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subject the same in hope, right? Correct. You know and I know that Adam and Eve, they were original creation. Huh? Only the Eve came out from the side of Adam as a byproduct. Why did God do that? Because God had wanted to subject them, as what Paul said. Subject to vanity. Not willingly, but God had a plan to know. For what he's doing, he wanted them to have a new body. So subject them to vanity and death. Was it not the same of Jesus Christ? Why not? God subject him to death, to temptation. Why not? I don't know what man thinketh, so you know as a man thinketh, so is he. That's why it's so important to believe what we understand of the Word of God. Is the earth flat? Or is the earth round? Like a ball? Well, there are people that believe the earth is flat. Huh? And there's no way for you to fly because it's a flat like a disc. And then, of course, I saw a remark posted and says that, ha! Perhaps that is true. That the earth, being a disc, was actually placed on top of a tortoise. Y'all know that mythology, what they call the story that was spun by a Chinese? That the earth was actually a flat on top of a tortoise. So whenever they said that there's an earthquake, it's because the tortoise moved. So the earth shakes. So you have the earthquake. Well, people believe that the earth is, there are people that believe that the earth is flat. And they can prove everything that the earth is flat. There are thousands of questions that tell you that you cannot answer. Yeah. But they never explain how that when you go around to the edge, you cannot run in the air, cannot fly off. They give you all kinds of explanation. They have all kinds of explanation. Alright. So this is how I was thinking. Now, there are those that... Now, remember this. Every one of us, we are born again. I hope you are. Are you born again? You are born again. New birth is not regeneration. Now, many of them out there are believing in universalism. The doctrine of universalism. That is to say that every creature that God had created, just like my friend Paul once believed, he says, everything that God has created, every living thing must come back to life. He believed, or these people believe, I would say, that Hitler will come back to eternal life. Mao Zedong, all the bad guys, all the hardcore criminals will come back, will live again. Wow. How do you reconcile that? Now I said, every living thing, yeah. I said, what about cockroaches? So every dead cockroach you step on and kill, they will come back. All the mosquitoes that you slap and you squash, they all come back. Huh? All the pigs, all the chickens that have been killed and eaten, they all come back. I could answer that. Of course, some of them say, no, no, it's only mankind. Mankind will come back all and ask for reason why. Because you see, Hitler has no choice. He has to play his part as a bad guy to kill all the Jews. He has no choice because he was born like that. You see the reason why? What is out there in the world today that started expression in America, the LBGT, whatever that is, LBGT. How many letters are there? It's getting longer and longer. Yeah, I won't be surprised. Huh? Yes. Because now one of the questions that was out there on Facebook that, you know, about the chicken, how many eggs do I have? He said, a cockroach give me 4 eggs. I said, if a cockroach can give you 4 eggs, it must be a transgender. Is that right? You know what a cockroach is? A cockroach eggs? A cockroach give me 4 eggs. I mean, okay, you know, it must be a transgender then. Huh? And then you have a bunny. My rabbit give me 2 eggs. If a rabbit can give you 2 eggs, that means if there's the biggest news in the world, the craziest news. You see, the problem is this, that we have in the world today, that people are so messed up that they have no sound mind. Christian people, they allow these things to be. Because one of them told me, he said, in the age of regeneration, that's what the age of regeneration is for, to regenerate the people back. What? How do you interpret the scripture? That means to say all those criminals will rise up and then God will regenerate them back to give them eternal life. The age of regeneration is Christ willing the world to regenerate this. Everything that was in the beginning, I started by regenerating back. The earth must come back. See the global warming and destroy everything? And you know, when Christ comes to rule, as I told when I was in the Philippines, I told the brother and sister like that, and I said, maybe the first thing when Christ rule, he will send out a law. All those jitney out there, the butch of all those smokes. You know how those vehicles, they come up with all the black smoke, the law will be passed. Now, all this must be clean because you put it on the road. And by, this thing will all be removed. That's right. Some of the Lord will come out is regenerating the system back. God, Christ will rule and put everything back in the system by His rod of iron. He will rule the earth with the rod of iron. People should come under a king's rule and to behave. But you know, man would not be able to regenerate back. Because by the end of 1,000 years, what happened? When Satan is let loose again, they attack the camp of God. Huh? Even though they have seen everything. You see, you cannot regenerate a person back to a new life. You can't. You must have a new birth. Do you see the difference now? People do not understand the Bible. I'm not being regenerated. I already have the new birth. You know what is meant by a new birth? You can't regenerate a person back. It's not that easy to do so. You know. So you must come to a new birth. Even after 1,000 year rule of Christ, people are still so rebellious. And then that's the reason why they must choose. And now it's the same thing. I choose you this day whom you will serve. And Paul's epistle telling us many times, and so have the other epistle of the other apostles, the importance of knowing the faith that we have, who we are, and line up with the Word of God. And don't come up with all the crazy doctrines. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Genesis 25, verse 29 onwards. And Jacob, the best thing is that let's go through verse 19 and just look through very fast, okay? Here we have, from verse 19 on, you talk about the generation of Isaac, Abraham's son. So Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, and then he gave birth to who? To two sons. Okay? And verse 23 onwards, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. And the elder shall serve the younger. Verse 24, the twin came out. The first came out, it was red all over, so his name was Esau. And after that, his brother came out, his hand took hold on Esau's heel. His name was called Jacob. And then Jacob and Isaac was 80 years old when Rebekah gave birth to Esau and Jacob. Alright, now, this is the background of the story. How old was Abraham when he gave birth to Isaac? Come on. How old was Abraham when he gave birth to Isaac? When Isaac was born? 100 years old. How old was Isaac when Rebekah his wife gave birth to Esau and Jacob? 60. Okay, now, let's go to verse 27. And the boy grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tent. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of the venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So these are all very brief, compact story. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage. For I am faint, therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point of death, at the point to die. And what profit shall the birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentil. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way, and thus Esau despised his birthright. So the story ends here with verse 34. And I said this many times, when you read the Bible, there is no chapter, no verses. And so this is where the confusion is. My question is this. Since we are going to study a little longer, so the way to ask you a question, anyway, we'll just a few here to ask you a question. And those of you out there can answer to your next person sitting next to you, okay? How old was Esau and Jacob? I mean, both they are twins, right? How old were they at that time when Esau sold his birthright to Jacob? If you can solve this problem, or solve this Question. You will not be able to find the answer.
More than 30.
Okay, now you understand here is that one of the clue people try to take it from here, which I said that cannot be true, because that's only a guesswork. Here it is, in verse 29. They take this as a clue. And Jacob sought pottage. Why is a pottage? And they say, oh, what's lintel? You know what lintel is? And then the Indian use a lot of lintel, you know, the red, you know, the dal that you have, making dal. Okay, it's like a bean. It's a pulses. It's from the family of pulses. Okay, you have the red bean, which is kidney shape, and this lintel is a dish shape. You can eat it in the curry, or the Indian curry, you know, or the dal. You know. So some people said, or commentary said, and I've kind of been laughing at it. It is because Abraham just passed away. So this is a food during the time of mourning. Oh. I said, kind of strange. And therefore, Esau and Jacob must be 15 years old. 15 years old, because Abraham died at the age of 175. Right. And when Isaac was 60 years old, gave birth to this twin. So therefore, by this time, it must be 15 years old. And Abraham passed away, so this was a food for the period of mourning. And it was kind of very strange. But the problem here is, if that is so, ask a question. If it is a period of mourning, what on earth did Esau went out hunting? Huh? For venison. Well, the answer is actually the next verse in chapter 26, verse 1. You see, we have a problem here in the way it is written. And there was a famine in the land. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of Philistine, unto Gerar. Okay, so they want to go and sojourn there, because there was famine in the land. So the whole event of chapter 25 about this was actually there was a famine at that time already. Okay? So how do you think these two boys were grew up? The Bible says, and verse 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, man of the field. So it must be in the 20, because that's the age where 20 is the age where you can join the soldiers to be a soldier. So as a man of the field, a cunning hunter, just like who he was, Nimrod. Remember? Three boys, both different. Esau was a man of the field. He couldn't care less about raising animals or doing farming. He just wanted to go and hunt venison and eat venison and make it for his father who loves him. Correct? But the Bible said Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. The word plain here, of course, the way it translates, of course, many translate from the same way, it means that he was a perfect man, upright man, a gentleman, a simple man. You know what I'm saying? Not the wild one to go out hunting. Now, you know that how later on, by the way, why was, well, let me see. Chapter 27. You know how that Jacob deceived his father and get the blessing? You all know that story, right? So what, how is it, how was it that Isaac, though he was poor sighted, could not recognize that he was Jacob? Because there was a trick, right, played on him. Is that so? Because Esau was a hairy man. So now you understand between these two characters, the Bible is, well, this chapter is kind of a compact. When Esau was a hunter, when you go out hunting in a place that they, you are in a hot sun. And when in the winter time comes, you also went hunting. It changes your body. You grow up as a kid going up there, playing and all that. And you start hunting as a young man into adulthood. You're going to grow hair. You're going to be a hairy person. Obviously. You see. And Jacob, well, he was a plain man. He was at home. He probably had some sheep and goat and a patch of, land to cultivate some food. But there was a famine. There was a drought. Food was not being, nothing is growing very well. That's why Esau, when he went out hunting, he came back with nothing. Why? Simple logic. He came out with no animal kill. No one kill. Got it? Why? Because animal will get to the place where water is found, right? They will not be in the place where there is drought. So they migrate, they go far away. Like in Africa, you can see during the summer, the drought period, how the animal move from one place to look for water. So he is aware of hunting, couldn't find animal because the animal is not that stupid. So he came back without a kill. And Esau had nothing. He don't have much pumpkin, he couldn't have corn much. What he have is some lintel. Huh? Jacob, he has some lintels, that's all he had got. So he put that into a pot and he started to stir and boil it. Make it perhaps into a dal. That's all that he got, and some perhaps some flowers for making bread, and he makes some bread. And here Jacob came home. Esau came back and he was hungry. But when you are hungry and you have a famine, there's not much to eat. Anything that smells good. So he saw that potential says, can you give me some? But here is where Jacob takes the opportunity. You want it? Then sell me your birthright. Now one thing here is that Jacob, what was he looking at? Jacob said, you want it? He sell me your birthright. He was looking at his stuffed body. You see, 90% mental. What was Esau looking at? Did I say Jacob again?
Yeah.
you know what I'm trying to say. Esau, what was he looking at? Yep, the five senses, the smell, the hunger, you're feeling, right? You feel on the taste, the smell, the senses, you just feel it, you just want it. He was looking at his stuffed body. 90% mental, it's all coming to play. Satisfy your carnality, your flesh. He wasn't thinking about his birthright. The moment you have some of your birthright, say, okay, I'm dying anyway, what's the use of birthright? Let me say this, brother and sister. If Esau chose to stuff his mind, you know what's going to happen to him? I can tell you he will not die because the birthright will transfer from him down. He will have descendants. You know what I'm saying? When God promised Abraham a son and said that you will have a descendant, you will be a father of many nations. Then later on, God told him, sacrifice Isaac to me. Do you think that Isaac will be destroyed? No. Abraham knew the word of God, the inheritance that is passed down. You see, if Esau only knew that he would not die, he got forsake about the little ball of
you know, red beans or whatever you want to call it, they call it lintione or pottage. You can go out and find something else to eat. Or stop out there for one day. He will not die. He never thought of his precious inheritance. What about every one of us here? All of us here. What do we have? Huh? When there is a famine in Singapore, let's say there's a famine in the world. And one of you rich brothers are so rich, you have a lot of things in the home. And the rest are all starving. Will you, brother, who have stocked up all your food for 1 month, that will last you for 1 month for your whole family, would you share with every one of us, 20 to 30 people? Or will you just keep for yourself quietly? There'll be a choice, huh? And not easy, right? Because if you were to share with every one of us, 20 to 30 of us, how long you'll last? Just a few days. You see, the thing about inheritance, believe it. So what if I will have to die? In the drought, in the famine, when there is no food. So what is death? What is that? It's just a gateway to the other side. But if you think only for this flesh, it means to say, our mind is carnal, not spiritual. Our mind is not sound. You know, all right? You see. And so that's what happened to Esau. So desperate. So his birthright. What did the Bible say about him? Maybe we should read that and close with it. Hebrews chapter 12. I should read that. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 12. What Paul wrote. What kind of person is he? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 to 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one more solemn meat of food. The word meat, not meat, huh? It means food. Okay? That's a translation. For one morsel of food, so his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, and he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears, just as Judas Iscariot. Esau was so upset later on, he realized that he has nothing. The blessing has gone to Jacob. And so what did he do? He wanted to kill Jacob. You see how the mind works? You make that mistake, you get upset, you get angry, your mind is not sound, you want to take revenge upon Jacob. But it's all your mistakes. Huh? So choose, and choose wisely. As I said this, in the last week, we all make choices every day. The day might come that we might face to make a choice. Are we going to save this body? Do you think this body is worth saving? Yeah, when I live for Christ. When I die, I die for Him. That's what it's all about. Amen? The Lord bless you. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for thy word, Lord. Thank you for helping us to understand. May we continue, Lord, to have a mind that is sound, and Lord, our confession be right because of the faith that we have. The faith that is real, the faith that you've given us, Lord. And that we know by the revelation of God that we are children of the living God. So, Father, let your Spirit lead us. And let our mind, O Lord, be not double-minded or messed up, Lord, Father. With all that senses, O Lord, that we are sensing, Father, the things of this world, the sound, the taste, the smell, whatever. The Lord, let us, in all the wisdom you've given us, Lord, that from the bottoms of our heart, deep in our heart, where the life of the Spirit of God is there, Lord, that we can confess with the word of life, and that, Lord, truly, that we are your children. So, Father, we ask for your grace now. Bless all now in Jesus' name. Amen.